Today I'd like to share with you success that produces lasting fulfillment. I believe success is a big desire for everyone. Who doesn't want success? Put up your hand. In school, who wants to get bad grades and fail in the classes? At work, who doesn't want to be able to succeed at job so that you can get a promotion, so that you can get paid more money, so that you can provide better for yourself and your family financially? In the family, who wants to have failure in marriage? Who wants to have trouble in marriage? When you do have that, it will bother you. You cannot even do anything when you are in an argument with your wife or husband. As parents, we want to be successful parents. We don't want our kids to fail in school. We want our kids to do well in school and in the future may be able to go to a good college, find a good job, and do well in life as well. For women, what does success mean to you, women? How about beauty? I think if you are praised as beautiful, attractive, you'll feel that I am very successful as a woman. I'm not a woman, but I've observed about women. For women, if they are beautiful, through fashion, through cosmetics, and a slim figure, they'll think that they are pretty successful. That's why they go to shopping a lot. Why do we want to be successful? We all want to be successful. There's something behind success that drives us to want to be successful. Subconsciously, success, we believe, will bring us happiness. Ultimately, we want to be happy in this life. Because success will bring praise from people, reputation, respect, and wealth. But does success really bring happiness? What do you think? Have you succeeded before? Does it really bring happiness? According to my experience as a man, my answer is yes. It does bring happiness, but only for a short period of time. At the instant of success, you feel really happy. For women, attractiveness that will win praise from other people. Oh, you look good today. I really like your dress. I like your hair. I like your nails. You look really good. You look so attractive and beautiful today. And you feel so fulfilled at that moment that someone praises you for your beauty and attractiveness. But as I think more about that, in order to get that instant of success that will bring fulfillment or happiness, people work really, really hard before that instant. It often brings a lot of pain before that momentary success or sense of fulfillment. And guess what? After that instant moment of success or fulfillment, emptiness. So before that instant that might just last probably for a few hours or maybe a day or two, another hard work, another pain. After that, a note of emptiness. What, this is one of the most common sayings by those people who have reached the pinnacle of success or the highest point of success. And that is, emptiness still follows their life despite their successes. After his second Wimbledon victory, Boris Becker surprised the world by admitting his great struggle with suicide. Jack Higgins, the renowned author of the book The Ego Has Landed, has said that the fact he had learned since he was a small boy was that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. When you get to the top, when you are most successful, you have achieved all your dreams, and you will see that there's nothing there. Only emptiness. Obviously, for women, Age is their biggest enemy. To success in the form of outer beauty. Think about that, women. As you age, maybe after 40 years, then you start seeing wrinkles on your face. And if you smile enough, you see wrinkles here, I have a lot of wrinkles already. And then you start seeing white hair on your hair, and you start trying to pluck that out, and then they keep popping up. And you see that as your metabolism rate drops, you still have the same habits, dietary or exercise, but you start to gain weight gain for women. So their sense of fulfillment, if that is dependent upon their outer appearance, would decrease over time, and they might feel depressed. Every morning they look at the mirror, oh, I'm one more day older. Or on their birthday, they no longer celebrate. They feel like, oh, I'm 1 year older. Unlike kids, they're so happy on birthdays. Oh, we can celebrate, we can have a party. But older people, ask your mom or dad, they are not excited as you are, as a youth. See, the successes that we pursue in this world will give us an instantaneous moments of fulfillment when we have succeeded in achieving our dream. But before that and after that, long period of pain, hard work, or emptiness, is it really worth it to get that instantaneous moment of success or fulfillment? And I ask myself, is there a better way of success that truly fulfills? And that fulfillment will last for a long time. And today, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, as Rebecca just read, I will show you a better way of success that fulfills and that lasts. And if you take to heart this teaching from the Bible, you'll be able to experience lasting fulfillment. And for women, I reveal to you the secret to lasting beauty. Do you want it? Okay. Now open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. We will see, first of all, a success that does not fulfill, and then a success that fulfills. And three, we will see why this success not only fulfills, but also lasts forever. First of all, we'll see that there is a success that doesn't fulfill. This is a success that is dependent upon gifts, but without love. Gifts without love is success that does not truly fulfill. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Have you thought about that? Wouldn't it be a great success if any one of you can speak all languages of this world? Won't you consider yourself pretty successful? How many languages can you speak now? English, Chinese, some Chinese, maybe English is stronger for those who were born here, and for those who were born in foreign countries, maybe another Chinese dialect, plus Mandarin, plus English. But what if you can speak all languages in the whole world? That would be a great success. Maybe French, maybe Spanish, and many other languages. If you go to the Middle East, if you can speak Arabic, then you can communicate with people in the Arabic countries. How about being able to speak the language of the angels? Wow. Then if that comes true, then not only would you be able to be the most popular translator in the whole world, everybody will be after you. You can go to travel in every part of the country and you'll be able to communicate with people. Moreover, you can also communicate with even angels. Angels will speak to you, and you can understand the angel's language, and you can talks back to the angels. But Paul said that even so, if you don't have the love of God, you are just like, according to Paul, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Do you know what is a gong and what is a cymbal?
Let me see. Where are the drums? We don't have the drums.
We used to have the drum set, and there's a cymbal. It's like a huge metal plate. You hit on it, and then you make sounds. You can work with other musical instruments, but if it is by itself, it's very noisy. If you keep hearing it for a long time, you'll be really, really bothered by it. So this is like you just use the cymbal or the gong as the solo piece of instrument without working with other instruments, and it's very annoying. So similarly, even if you have such impressive gift of language and being able even to communicate with angels, if there's no love, it is very annoying, it does not build up. And that's the meaning of love of God. The love of God is sacrificial, it's unconditional, and it helps and it builds up people. But such impressive gifts of language and also being able to communicate with even the angels without love does not build up people. It might be a great show to be able to impress people with your gifts, but it only lasts for a while, and what is left behind is emptiness to yourself. Those who exercise such gifts, maybe even with a lot of effort and hard work, they create emptiness in yourself and in others who listen to you as well. That's why this does not fulfill. This does not fulfill yourself or other people who listen to you. And Paul continued to say that there is yet another gift. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I am zero. If you give me a score, I am zero. If I have prophecy, the gift of prophecy, that means I will be able to reveal to you all the truth in the Bible and the mysteries of God's kingdom. I'm the most knowledgeable person in the whole world. Everybody will be after me because I'm the most knowledgeable Bible scholar, teacher in the whole world, or Sunday school teacher in the church. And yet, if there is no love, in God's eyes, your score is zero. You have failed miserably. Even if you have a faith that can move mountains, that means you have such a strong faith and courage. Maybe as a missionary, I can go to a violent people who never heard the gospel, and then I'll go there, I will take a risk of losing my life to go there to share the gospel. But if I do that for my own glory, to make myself look good by doing this, and then maybe if I survive, I come back and tell everybody about this, see how great I am as a missionary, in God's eyes, that is nothing. Your score is zero. Nothing. If you do not have the love of God in doing the word of God. Again, it might be a great show. It impresses people, but only for a little while. And what is left behind is just emptiness in yourself and in those people who listen to you. See, this again does not fulfill. And this is nothing in God's eyes. And Paul continued in verse 3, and not a gift. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Isn't it impressive to see someone who is wealthy and yet willing to give all his or her money to help the poor people? Wow, this would be the most generous person in the whole world. You know, you struggle to just offer to God maybe 10% of your income. How about giving all of your money to the church to help the poor? It would be pretty impressive. This person is very generous. But are you generous to make yourself look good, or are you generous to make God look good? When you're generous, are you hiding your generosity? You're not even telling people about, oh, I have given a lot of money to the poor. I have seen a lot of people in TV shows, they say, I would give $1 million for this good purpose, to help the poor, to help the people who have AIDS, to help the people who have breast cancer, and for other good causes. But they're making a big sound of it, and let everybody know, and they get their praise. If you do that, that is nothing in God's eyes. And they are very, very religious people who are willing to die for their faith. That means they are willing to surrender their body to the flames. I would hold on to my faith, even being willing to die for it. But maybe some people do that for personal glory, not for God. It's possible for people to even die for a good cause for people, for themselves, not for God. Because the love of God is not there. They might just do that as a way to make themselves look good. Maybe they think that if I do that, I would earn my chance to go to heaven. That's why the Muslims, they are willing to be suicide bombers. They die in order to be able to go to heaven, because that's what they believe in. Again, this is nothing in God's eyes. To summarize, in God's eyes, having the most impressive gifts that most of you want to have. Some of you already have some gifts with music, with computers, with mathematics, or whatever subject that you're good at. And you want to have more. When you're good with music, you want to be more like the most famous musicians. You can play maybe 10 or 20 chords with the guitar. You hope you can remember 1,000 chords. I heard that there are many, many chords, and you can play the most complicated music just at free will without even needing to try. And yet, even if you have such gifts, without love for God and for people, you gain nothing. It is nothing in God's eyes. It is like you are a genius. You get A pluses in everything you do. And yet, you do not have love for God and for people in what you are trying to do. In God's eyes, your score is zero. In people's eyes, they are very impressed by you. You might get A's, but not in God's eyes. You might be a Miss Universe, recognized as the most beautiful woman on planet Earth. And yet such beauty without love is nothing. And such beauty would decrease over time. You might be proud about your outer beauty for just a little while, wait for 30 years. It will deteriorate for sure. So that's why it is nothing to have these gifts, and yet without the love of God and the love for people, because of your love from God. And this love, you'll see that it lasts forever, and this is what truly fulfills you. Now let's look at the success that truly fulfills. Love of God. We must learn to love the way God loves us. And this is true success in God's eyes that fulfills, that produces true fulfillment, and that also produces beauty in women. This love is sacrificial, it's unconditional, and it's helpful to others. John 3:16, you all remember. Who can recite John 3:16 to me? David? Yes, thanks. For God so loved. God is the best example of love. And He not only talked about love, but He loved in the most amazing way, in the greatest way, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willing to die for our sins in our place. As a result, we are being helped by this love, because whoever believes in Jesus will no longer be condemned in hell, but can go to heaven with God forever, connected with the eternal good, eternal holy God. That's why the one who can, not the way God knows, is the one who would experience true success, and this is the success that will also fulfill you, to produce true joy in your heart. And this is the joy that would last. What does this kind of love like in practice? We have seen Jesus demonstrating this love. But how about for us to practice this kind of love to other people in our life? What would that be like? We will see two qualities of what love is. What love is? The attitude in our hearts. And then we will learn five things of what love does in action. So pay attention to first understand what love is, and then what love does in action, so that we can have this attitude that is love in God's eyes. And whatever we do, if we do these things of love, we will experience true success that fulfills. First of all, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. What does it say? The first quality of love. What is that? It is patience. Okay. What is patience? Most people would think that patience is that I can just wait for a long time. But here, patience, this is towards people. This type of patience is the capacity to be wronged and do not retaliate. Let me give you an example. When your schoolmates, your co-workers, or your churchmates, even your wife or husband, insult or wrong you based on ignorance or misunderstanding about you in front of others, and you have the power and you have the authority to stop it and to get even, but you do not use this power to get even, it takes patience. This is the patience that Paul is talking about here. When someone slaps you on your face, you can punch this person, knock him out, because you have been trained in martial arts. Some of you have. I have been trained. If someone slaps me, I can very easily just punch that person at the vital point, and that person will just pass out. I know how to do it. But if I have patience, instead of doing that, I hold myself, I control my power and not do it to hurt that person, and just take this insult, and that's okay. And this is a stronger power than uncontrolled power. You have power, you cannot control it. But if you have patience, you have power, you can control it, and it will not cause unnecessary harm to people. See why patience is more powerful than uncontrolled power. And patience can build up people instead of destroying people. Why are patient people more fulfilled people? Patient people, they are fulfilled because they can control their power to resolve, truly resolve unfair treatment, instead of using violence against violence that does not truly resolve a problem. It will cause more violence to come back to you. But if you have this type of patience and not take it personal, and you don't feel even harmed because of this strong power inside of you, you have peace with God, and you have peace with others, and you can even turn your enemies into a friend. So that's why a patient person is a more fulfilled person. Are you patient? Are you patient? Have you ever been insulted? Have anyone ever put down on you in public? Did you just try to get even? Be patient. And the second quality of love is kind. Love is kind. kindness is even beyond patience. Patience is very passive. I try to control myself not to use my power. And yet kindness is to not only not retaliate, that is passive, but actively seek to help someone in need, even your enemy. Not only would you try to control yourself not to hurt someone who has hurt you, but you even try to help your enemy when he is in trouble. You got snapped, and then the next day, you see your enemy snapping another person, a stronger person who is not patient, and then that person is going to get even and beat up on your enemy. What would you do? You probably would run away, right? But a kind person, seeing that this enemy of mine might get really hurt and then might even die, and this kind person is willing to even help an enemy to get out of trouble. Unkindness destroys. Unkindness ruins relationships with people. But kindness builds up relationships and even turns enemies into friends. Why is a kind person fulfilled? A kind person is fulfilled because of the friends that he can make. Who doesn't want to be with a kind person? Who wants to be with a mean person? Do you have friends? Are they mean to you? Then you probably do not want to be friends with that person anymore. Do you have a friend? Think about that friend. That friend probably is really kind to you. That's why you have become friends. So, be kind. Besides that, when you are kind to people, not only can you make more friends, true friends, but you will experience a joy of seeing someone be helped. You are very joyful when you see someone in need of help. Moreover, you see that you are blessed because God has given you the ability to help others. You have. That's why you are able to give. Love is patient and love is kind. So let us learn to be patient with people, even those people who don't treat us well. Not only be patient, let us also be kind, actively help those people who are in need, even our enemies. And you will see amazing things happening in your life if you're willing to be patient and kind. Think about Jesus. How Jesus was being patient and kind to even his enemies. On the cross, before he died, on the cross, he said that, "Father, forgive these people who are crucifying me, for they do not know what they are doing when they are controlled by their sin." How can we have this power that is greater than just having power that is uncontrolled? It is through the Holy Spirit. For those who have believed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you can always pray anytime and ask God to help you. "God, I don't really like this person. This person is really mean to me. Can you help me to be patient to this person, not use my power to get even? Could you also help me to be kind so that when he is in trouble, I'm willing to help him?" By God's power, you can do it. By your own power, you cannot. Besides the two qualities of what love is, love also does five things in action. Five things. First of all, what's the first thing that love does? We'll be at the end of verse 6. You see that I skipped some verses. And those verses talk about four things that love is not, and four things that love does not do. And we will learn that on July 26th. That will be my last sermon to preach here before I move to Houston. And very important message. Today, looking at the second half of verse 6, we'll see the first thing that love of God does. What is that? What does love do? What does love do? According to the second half of verse 6. Do you see that? Not rejoices with the truth. What does it mean? It means that you rejoice with the truth of God. It means that you enjoy studying God's word and living out God's word. You will tell people the truth and you will not lie to avoid just a punishment or make yourself look good. Let me give you an example. I know yesterday, even the day before yesterday, we had the Chinese revival meeting, and some of the youth, they have opportunity to play a mini World Cup in a small room, and then outside was the real soccer ball. Suppose you play soccer, and then you break the window glass of a house, of a church neighbor. And then the neighbor, the owner of the house, came out really, really angry and said, "Who did this to my house window?" What would you do if you are the person who kicked the ball? Run away. See, that's our natural response. But the person who has the love of God, who rejoices with the truth, what will he do? And Adam said that, "Oh, it's me, right?" Jesus admits that, "I did it. Sorry, sir. Would you forgive me? I'm even willing to pay for the damage, or I don't have money, but I'm willing to do chores for you. How chores? To pay for the penalty of my mistake." See, this is what a truthful person would do. Instead of hiding the mistake, this person is willing to admit a mistake and then take responsibility for that. A truthful person is a fulfilled person. Why? If you run away like David probably would do, you will feel guilty, although you seem to be able to avoid a penalty. But you always feel guilty, and whenever you come to church, you are in fear. "Oh, I don't want to be seen by that neighbor. He will try to do something nasty to me." But if you are truthful, you will have no fear. You would rather admit your mistakes and then be punished, because that's what you deserve. But in your heart, you have a very clear conscience, then you will not be in fear. You have peace with God, and you have peace with people. That's why the one who rejoices with the truth is a more fulfilled person than someone who runs away from the truth and his mistakes. Second quality, the second thing that the love of God does, what is that? In verse 7, always protect besides rejoicing with the truth. Love always protects. Love of God will protect and build up and help people instead of tearing down people. Same scenario of breaking the window glass of the church neighbor's house. David kicked the ball. David ran away. And then Luray was also there. Frank was also there. What would they do? Would they also run away? Run away? But what? You say, "He did it! He did it!" run after him, not me. But now that protects Frank, as an elder brother of David, you do something. You say that, "I was also playing together, so I am also responsible. Whatever you want to punish my brother for, I'm willing to also take it with him together. If not just by yourself, okay? If he ran away, then I will take it, okay? I will receive the punishment that he deserves." That's what Jesus did for us. See, if you have this love that protects, you are willing to even take penalty for someone else's mistake on yourself. This is amazing. Again, we, by our natural tendency, we will not do that. We'll just also run away or point finger at someone else. You think that person deserves all the penalty. But love always protects. Then why, having the love that always protects, you will become a more fulfilled person? Again, you will be able to make more friends, and you will be able to cover up other people's mistakes, and they have the opportunity to be restored by your love for him. Third thing that Nam does is also in verse 7. What is that? Nam always trusts. So if you have enough of God, you and you were the neighbor again. Now this time you were the neighbor, and some kids play soccer and broke your house window glass, and you know which kid it was, and you already punished the kid, or the kid admitted his mistake. The next day, okay, the window glass was already fixed, and then it got broken again, and you saw a soccer ball. What would you do? You immediately assume it is the same kid who did it. But if you have the nerve that trust, you believe in someone, you always give a benefit of doubt to someone instead of assuming someone who made a mistake that he will make the same mistake again. Think about how that will bring people together instead of separating people apart. Thus, you do not give people a benefit of doubt. Whoever has messed up will never be able to do well again in the future. You do not give people second chances. But if you have enough that trust, you would give people second chances. That's why, again, you will be more fulfilled if you can have, you can live out love that always trusts. How about love always hopes? Think about that. If you, again, were the neighbor, the window glass got broken, how do you practice the love that always hopes? Your window glass got broken, the kid ran away, okay? Did not admit his mistake. And what would you think about this kid? This kid is hopeless. This kid is going to be a criminal in the future. I can guarantee that. So if you have no hope in people, you think the worst for that person. But if you have the love that always hopes, even after people have made a mistake, you still hope the best for that person. Don't you want to be with someone like that? Instead of you made a mistake and that person sees that you're hopeless, and you can see from that person's body language, you can say that that person no longer loves me because he does not have any hope for me. And then you will live a self-fulfilling prophecy. I have no hope. I just do whatever I want, and you continue to live a disobedient life to God and to people, and you indeed can become a criminal as a result. So that's why it's so important that we can have this love that always hopes for people. Love also always perseveres. If you have the love of God, you will not give up what God wants you to do, even when it gets difficult and less exciting. Have you learned a foreign language before? Even Chinese. Learning Chinese for some of you is very difficult. Maybe you can speak some Mandarin, but if I ask you to write something, a short paragraph in Chinese, you know how painful that is. Or Spanish, or French, whatever you need to learn. In the middle of it, you want to give up. It's too hard. Why do I have to learn this language? But if you understand that God might use this language for me to share the gospel with people or help someone who is in need in the community in the future, and you, with the love of God and the strength from God through the Holy Spirit, you would persevere. You would not give up simply because it's difficult. That's why it's so important that you have love that perseveres even in difficulty in your life. And you'll be able to achieve what God will want you to achieve. You will not be a quitter, but you will be the one who can finish what God has given you. Love always perseveres. Naturally, the love of God not only will produce success that fulfills, but also success that lasts, that's forever. Verse 8 tells us that love never fails. It means that never ends. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be sealed. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But love never fails, never ends, never stops. Not in eternity. Why so? There will still be love in heaven. Why? Because God is love. God will not stop loving. And as a follower, as a child of God, we will also have this quality in heaven, and we'll continue to love God and love one another in heaven with this kind of love. But think about the gifts that you have. Would God still need your gift in heaven? For example, prophecy, explaining the difficult verses in the Bible. Do you still need that gift? Or knowledge to know everything in the Bible? Or language to be able to speak all kinds of language or dialects in heaven? Do you still need that? It is only for now. In heaven, you no longer need the gift of prophecy and knowledge, because God himself will reveal to us all truth and help us understand all truth in heaven. And we no longer need to have the gift of languages, because God will enable us to communicate in a language that we don't know yet, but with that language we can communicate with God, and we can understand God. We can communicate with the angels will be able to understand us, and I'll be able to communicate with believers who were in the Arabic country but became a believer of Jesus Christ. I will be able to speak to Moses, although I will not be able to speak Hebrew, conversational Hebrew, to him, but I will be able to communicate with Moses. That's why in heaven, we no longer need those gifts. But love never ends. It will continue in eternity in heaven. You're going to college. You're already in college, or you have been in college. What was your major? But I want to tell you that we all should major in love as students of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ, we are students of Jesus Christ. Major in love. And then you can minor in the gifts after you have majored in love, then those gifts would be something instead of nothing. In closing, I'd like to show you two PowerPoint slides, as I promised. They will tell you how to have success that will last and produce fulfillment, and also the success that will produce lasting beauty. Okay, suppose each one of us has a gift, maybe represented by a zero. Okay? Quite impressive, right? Another bit, zero. Please add that up. What is that equal to? Adding up all the zeros. Next slide. It's a big zero, okay? Now how about we add love? That is represented by one before each zero. Then each gift is equal to 10 in value. Still not too much. But if we connect all our gifts together instead of using them individually, next slide. This is a huge number. Can you even tell me what is this number? And actually it lasts to the second page, okay? After I've added one into it. That's why our gift is nothing without love. But with love, it's a huge number. And it will last to eternity. Next slide. Next, how about beauty? Do you want to have lasting beauty? And this woman is considered the most beautiful woman in history. She already passed away in 1993, and she will share with you the secret of true beauty. Maybe you cannot see that, but I can read that to you. There was something in her smile, in her eyes, in her timeless and natural elegance. Keep going. The following are quotes from Audrey Hepburn when she was asked to share her beauty secret. Women, pay attention. Lips. Okay? For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. That will make your lips the most beautiful lips in the whole world. Lips. For beautiful eyes, look for the good in others, or having hope for others. Trust others. Lips. For a slim figure, always share your food with the hungry. Don't eat all the food yourself. Okay? Make sense? Next. To have beautiful hair, let a little boy or girl stroke it at least once a day. Right? If you have a little brother, you'll understand. For poise, walk with the knowledge that you are never alone. God is always with you. If you have friends, you're not alone. If you have a pet, you're not alone. People, even more than things, have to be restored, renewed, revived, reclaimed, and redeemed. Never throw away anyone. You might throw away your stuff, the dolls. Don't throw away anyone in your life. Six. So she got older. And remember, if you ever need a helping hand, it's at the end of your arm. As you get older, remember you have another hand. The first is to help yourself. The second one is to help others. Next. It's that wonderful old-fashioned idea that others come first and you come second. This was the whole ethic by which I was brought up. Others matter more than you do. So, don't fuss. Here, get on with it. Next. A woman's true beauty is not in her figure, in the way she dresses, in the clothes she wears, or in the way she does her hair. A woman's beauty is seen in her eyes, because they are the window to her soul, the place where love dwells. Next. She got older. A woman's true beauty increases with years, not decreases with years. If you learn the secret of love and you practice love, the older you get, the more beautiful you become. Next. The beauty of a woman is not in superficial fashion. Next. Keep going. A woman's true beauty is reflected in her soul, in her kindness and loving care, and in the passion she shows. She helped a lot of people, kids in family, saved a lot of kids' lives at the end of her years. You are unique. God loves you the way He made you. And you are beautiful in God's eyes. We are all unique and special. In God's eyes, there's no ugliness, no matter what you look like. God created you this way or that way, and that's the best for you. In God's eyes, you are all beautiful. This applies even to men. Okay? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to confess our sins to you because we often focus too much on success on the outside. We pursue gifts. We want to be famous. We want to be recognized by people. We want to impress people. In the process, we often will compromise our integrity, our honesty, and the truth according to your word. I thank you for your word because your word reminds us that no matter how impressive our gifts are, without love, they are nothing in God's eyes, and that does not really fulfill us. We will experience a lot of pain and hard work to gain those that does not really fulfill, and it will leave emptiness in our hearts afterwards. That's why there are so many famous people who are successful, who are wealthy, and yet they are lost because they have not learned the secret of the love of God. I thank you because for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you have given us the Holy Spirit for us to be able to live a life of love. That is what that lasts forever. That is what that truly fulfills. I pray that we will all not only have the attitude of love in our heart that is patient and that is kind, but we also would do what love does, including rejoicing with the truth, including protecting other people always, trusting other people always, hoping in other people always, and perseveres in difficulty. If we major in love and minor in the gifts, God, you will make our life a true success in your eyes, and that fulfills and that helps other people as well. If we learn the truth and practice the truth of love of God, we will all be beautiful. The older we get, the more beautiful we become. I pray that you will make us beautiful people, attractive people that builds up other people in this world who are lost, who do not know the true beauty through the love of God. Make us a loving community in Christ together, because when we add up the gifts together with God's love, it is really something. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.